Welcome to the weekend and this edition of the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick. You can catch up with me and our podcasts at BillMick.com. It's Memorial Day weekend, the unofficial start of summer. That means many of us will be enjoying Florida's waterways, maybe even those of us who don't usually spend time on the water. That brings up safety concerns, which should always be top of mind, but even more so on a busy holiday weekend. Today, we'll discuss safety on Florida's waters, whether you're swimming, kayaking, just skiing, or boating. Brian Raywinkle with the Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission, joined by Hunter Bland, as we take a look at safety and Florida's waters this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. Nice to have you with us as we consider the summer ahead, your safety, and enjoying what Florida has to offer here from the Florida News Network.
Spring is here, and it's the perfect time to plant olive trees. At Quality Green Specialists in DeLand, Florida, we've got over 7 fruiting olive tree varieties ready to thrive in your garden now. Browse online at qualitygreenspecialists.com or visit us at 335 West Michigan Avenue in DeLand. Whether you're a seasoned grower or just getting started, our expert team is here to help you grow. Top quality plants, sustainable gardening products, friendly expert advice. qualitygreenspecialists.com.
Motorcyclists, bicyclists, pedestrians, and commercial vehicles all have the right to be on the road and travel safely. Motorists, watch out for bicyclists and pedestrians, allowing 3 feet of clearance. And be on the lookout for motorcycles. Never attempt to share a lane with one. Drive cautiously around commercial vehicles. Don't cut in front and stay out of their blind spots. When we're on the road together, safety is a shared responsibility. Let's all make it home safely. Message from the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
It's the first day of the first grade, and she found a new best friend. It's a laid-back Sunday afternoon you wish would never end.
The homemade taste of Bluebell and good friends gathered round. The good old days are being made right now.
Bluebell Groom's Cake Ice Cream is renewing its vows on the frozen aisle. Milk chocolate ice cream with chocolate cake pieces, chocolate-coated strawberry hearts, swirls of strawberry sauce, and chocolate icing. See you at the reception.
The good old days are being made right now.
The good old days are being made right now.
Look for Bluebell ice cream at your local grocer and pick up your favorite flavor today.
Glad you're with us on the Florida Roundtable this Memorial Day weekend. I don't care what the official first day of summer is. This is it, boys and girls. Of course, we live in Florida. We don't really care what the calendar says anyway, right? We are talking boating safety and, well, just general water safety as far as that goes. Brian Raywinkle's with us with the Fish and Wildlife Commission. Hunter Bland is also here. Hunter, we know Brian. He's been with us before. Let's talk about you for just a minute. Tell us your background and what you got into this water safety idea.
Thanks so much for the introduction, man. Yeah, so I got into boating and water safety from actually a personal accident on the water. I'm an avid angler, always grown up hunting and fishing in the outdoors. And I was fishing for the University of Florida back in 2017. And I was in a college bass fishing tournament on Lake Seminole in Bainbridge, Georgia. We had just launched the bass tournament, passed boat check where they make sure your life jackets are on, your engine cutoff switch is in proper working order, and we're running down the river and my hydraulic steering blows apart running about 50, 55 miles per hour. So thank the good Lord we walked away from it with just some scratches and bruises. But, you know, I was driving home from that event and something just hit me. I was like, I need to help people with this. And I just had like this overwhelming feeling like somebody out there needs to hear this message. You know, I did everything right and something still happened. And so that sparked my passion for boating and water safety. And ever since 2017, I've been working in the fishing and boating industry, working with a lot of different major manufacturers and nonprofits to help encourage the water safety message, just to, you know, encourage people that things can happen on the water, but we have to prepare properly, you know, and do all the safe practices to make sure you set yourself up for success.
You know, it's interesting. So you put it the way you did, because a month or two ago, I interviewed the folks from Mothers Against Drunk Driving, And you can do everything right and still end up having an incident that cost you or your family and could cost them dearly.
That's exactly right. And same thing in my case, you know, I did everything right. I literally walk around my boat every single night because I'm on the boat in the water and checking everything, doing all your maintenance, all of that stuff. And something still happened. But the two things, hooking up that engine cutoff switch and wearing a life jacket, those are some of the most important steps, if not the most important steps, every single time you get on the water. And to this day, I always have a life jacket on anytime I'm on the water, no matter what I'm doing on the water. If I'm getting near on the water, I have a life jacket on.
Very good. Brian Raywinkle, you're with the Fish and Wildlife Commission. Let's talk about you guys as Boating Safety Week, as we record this, heading into Memorial Day weekend. What's the emphasis that you guys are bringing to the table here?
Well, first of all, I want to start and talk about Hunter, because that's part of our message, is to have the right equipment and, most importantly, use that equipment. So it's one thing to have the proper life jackets on the boat, but because Hunter was using his life jacket, it mitigated what could have been a tragedy. So that's part of our message. We know in Florida people have been boating for many months now, and in parts of Florida people boat year round. But Safe Boating Week is a good time to take stock of what equipment you have. And for example, a life jacket, find a comfortable life jacket that you can use all of the time. We encourage people to make sure they're paying attention on the water, maintain 360 degree awareness, something that is so important, often overlooked. Take a boating safety course. We don't know what we don't know. So know before you go. Take a boating safety course. If you've taken one in the past and it's been a few years, take another one. We forget what we've learned over the years. And so it's a good opportunity, Safe Boating Week is, to pay attention to the equipment, to pay attention to how you operate, and to beef up your knowledge.
Just a glimmer of what we're going to look at through the day here on the Florida Roundtable as we consider safety on Florida's waterways. A lot of great things to do, a lot of joy and fun to be had, a lot of danger if you're skipping on the safety or you don't know what you're doing, and great suggestions already. And we're just getting started with this weekend's edition of the Florida Roundtable on the Florida News Network. Boating safety, whether it's kayaking, jet skiing, boating, fishing, whatever it may be, we're going to try to keep you safe all summer long today on the Roundtable.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf.
Call 800-989-1647. 800-989-1647. That's 800-989-1647.
Up to 44% of veterans say re-entry into civilian life was difficult. 20% say they experienced depression, and 6,000 vets complete suicide every year. You're not alone. At the Florida Veterans Support Line, over 300 veterans like you call every week for resources, referrals, and support. Connect with one of our veteran peers who has walked in your shoes and can help you take the next step. You're not alone. Call 1-844-MY-FL-VET or visit myflvet.com.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision, especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Bill Mick with Brian Raywinkle from the Fish and Wildlife Commission, and Hunter Bland, a boating safety activist, and with good reason. If you missed the first segment, what a harrowing situation he had, and came through it unscathed because he was ready. We're talking safety on the waterways this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. Guys, let's talk about those general safety principles. Both of you, right off the bat, mentioned life vests, and most importantly, wearing them as opposed to just having them on a boat. Law says you got to have them. Does it also specify? I know as a former jet skier, and I love that, you had to have them on when you're jet skiing. What about in boats, or does it vary from type of boat to type of boat? Let's go ahead and start with you, Hunter.
So,
Hunter, go ahead.
It does. So there's a lot of different types of life jackets. But like, you know, Brian will mention as well, what we want to do is encourage you to wear a life jacket that's comfortable, that fits you properly, especially when it comes down. You know, there's life jackets for your pets, life jackets for your kids, a ton of different types out there. But we want to make sure everybody is wearing one. You know, I have a 2-year-old little girl, and a life jacket for a toddler is a lot different than a life jacket for me. So I can't take my life jacket and put it on her, right, because it wouldn't be proper. So you need to go through all the necessary steps to make sure that, you know, like on her life jacket, it's going to have the weight inside with the United States Coast Guard approved sticker in there. And so she doesn't weigh 30 pounds yet. So she's in a infant toddler life jacket that's up to 30 pounds. So that's just one example of how a lot of those things can change. And just like you mentioned, you know, age determines that, as well as, you know, what type of vessel you're on. But the thing that I always preach is making sure to maintain, you know, always keep on a life jacket, always maintain safety when you're on the water for everybody on board. I encourage wearing a life jacket. And then Brian can jump in a little more on the actual specifics of the law.
Yeah, Brian, if you would, go right ahead.
Yeah, Hunter, you did a good job of covering that. In Florida, we have, for vessels under 26 feet while underway, children under the age of 6 have to wear a U.S. Coast Guard approved life jacket that fits them. That's always very important. If you're going to put a life jacket on a child, make sure it's a life jacket for a child that's appropriate for that size child. We talk an awful about a lot about inflatable life jackets because of comfort. There are inflatable life jackets that go over the shoulder. They're called suspender style life jackets. There are belt pack life jackets that look more like a fanny pack. But all of the inflatable life jackets are pretty comfortable. Now, there are a couple of types of vessels that inflatables are not suitable for. You mentioned jet skis, personal watercraft. Jet skis included in that family, you cannot wear an inflatable life jacket. They're not designed to handle the potential impact for a PWC. But as Hunter said, there are so many different types of life jackets or styles of life jackets out there based on the activity. In fact, you may have you may have 3 or 4 different life jackets. You may have a life jacket for fishing. You may have a life jacket for PWC use. You may have a life jacket for cruising. Life jackets used to be thought of as just that a piece of equipment for the Titanic incident, where if something a ship sinks, you put on your life jacket. But today, life jackets are manufactured for activities so that they can be worn all the time while you're participating in the activity, because of course we know that Mother Nature, for example, doesn't tell us when something related to weather is going to cause a boating incident. We don't know that. We don't know in Hunter's instance where the steering is going to fail. We don't get advance notice of that. So that's the real big difference with life jackets today, is they're designed for activities so that they can be used all the time while you're engaged in those activities.
Living on the Space Coast, Brian, we will see very frequent incidents of drowning due to the surf conditions and the like. Are any of those inflatables suitable for beach wearing, swimming at the beach, especially when you have rip currents that are problems in the area? Has that been adapted anywhere that you know of?
Oh, absolutely. You bring up a very good point, because people tend to think of life jackets just for boating. But for children, learning to swim or swimming in pools or in natural water bodies. For fishermen, there are fishermen who wade in and maybe are not very strong swimmers, and life jackets are good for them. You mentioned the surf conditions. Now, one thing about inflatable life jackets to consider is many of the inflatable life jackets are what are called automatic life jackets. That is, when they hit the water, when you hit the water wearing that life jacket, it's going to inflate. There are what are called manual style life jackets that would be more appropriate for a kayaking, canoeing, that type of thing. Any times where you might end up in the water, you certainly could use a manual inflatable in the water and pull the cord to inflate the life jacket when needed. But probably more people who swim are going to be using what are called inherently buoyant life jackets. That is, they come with the flotation. You don't have to inflate anything. That's the type of life jacket that most people are familiar with, is an inherently buoyant life jacket.
Very good. Hunter, you mentioned, and Brian, you did too, training and boater safety. Hunter, let's talk about training options for boaters and what's the minimum they need to look for, and what would you recommend as somebody who makes his living doing these things?
Yeah, that's another great point. Taking a safe boating course is super important. And it's like what Brian mentioned, you don't know what you don't know. And when I say that, we're not pointing out somebody's flaws here. We're just educating you and helping to encourage you to build your confidence on the water. You know, when I first started towing a boat behind the back of my truck, I convinced my dad, like, yeah, I promise I'll bring it back in one piece, right? And I took my state certification to pass that boater safety exam, because I fall after that age to where I need to have that required safe boating certificate to operate in the state of Florida. And so I took that course, learned a lot of knowledge there, even though I grew up boating and had a lot of history. And, you know, my grandpa taught me, my dad taught me. I was very fortunate there. There's still so much that I learned through that course. And now being in the industry, you know, 8+ years later, the one thing I've learned more and more is how important it is to just take a safe boating course. It can be as simple as you might have forgot, you know, what channel markers are actually supposed to look like. And that might be a silly example, but seeing that in a course type material, and then when you go navigate in those navigable waterways, now you're seeing that real time and you're like, oh yeah, I remember that from the course. I remember which side of this marker I'm supposed to be on. I'm returning into port. You know, those type of things, that situational awareness you learn through taking a safe boating course. And that's kind of a two-part approach. What I really recommend is taking that online safe boating course, but then through like the National Safe Boating Council, as well as other great partners like Boat US Foundation, a lot of different partners that you can find throughout the state of Florida, you can actually take a hands-on safe boating course now. So you can have a certified instructor trainer help you learn great foundational principles for on-water training. And now you're coupling that with your online safe boating course. And here's the thing. I have been behind the wheel of a bass boat specifically for hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands and thousands of hours at this point, even at my age, because I'm in a boat so much. And you still, like Brian mentioned earlier, you can't prepare for a weather event that's going to pop up. Even though you've checked the weather 15 times, you can't prepare for that person that's not looking properly. You know, that's one of the leading causes in boating accidents is improper lookout. Mm-hmm. And that's just people not paying attention, right? I might be paying attention, but the other individual's not paying attention. And the one thing that keeps coming true that I have learned time and time again is the more time you have behind the wheel, the more knowledge you have, the more you're setting up yourself for success as an operator and keeping others around you safe, as well as all of your passengers safe, because it becomes muscle memory. So if somebody pulls out in front of me and is not properly looking out, now everything's muscle memory to perform a safe maneuver to avoid them, or I've operated in so many different conditions with weather that have popped up randomly, even though I'm properly checking everything, that muscle memory takes over. So again, just some examples of how a safe boating course and on-water training can lead you to build that confidence and make you a safer, more confident boater out there.
Very good. Brian, what's the FWC's role when it comes to training? Do you guys provide it or have classes around the state, or is it primarily enforcement from your end?
Well, what we do with the boating safety education is we actually approve the curriculum. The law says that for anyone born on or after January 1st, 1988, who's operating a boat with an engine of 10 horsepower or greater, must complete an approved boating safety course. So we approve the curriculum. The course providers are private or nonprofit organizations, Coast Guard Auxiliary, U.S. Power Squadrons. Hunter mentioned the online courses. So we actually approve that, and then we issue a boating safety ID card so that someone can show a law enforcement officer that they have met that requirement. And I will say, I'm so glad Hunter mentioned the on-water the standards, the national on-water standards. We are beginning in the near future, we will issue a special boating safety ID card. We'll call it a gold card for those people who complete the classroom boating safety education course and a course that meets the verified national on-water standards. So that's our role in that. Obviously, enforcement side is very important, but the curriculum, and we certainly promote boating safety courses, including the on-water standards.
Are there generally costs involved for these courses, or can you find them that are no cost?
There are costs. We have close to 20 different course providers, so we have a lot of choices for people. And there are prices, a variety of prices. There is also a course that is free. So people have all the options for courses, and they have all of the price options as well. And regardless of the course they take, if it's been approved by us, it will meet the standards established in Florida law. And we will issue the Florida Boating Safety ID card for that course. So people have choices.
Hope you're having a safe and fun Memorial Day weekend as we talk, enjoying Florida's waterways here on the Florida Roundtable. Brian Raywinkle is with us from the FWC. Hunter Bland, a boater safety activist and advocate, is with us as well. We continue in moments on the Florida News Network.
Summer starts early here in Florida, which means we get more beach time, more sunshine, and more time to enjoy refreshing, sweet, and juicy fresh from Florida watermelon. The best part of summer is already here. Find locally grown Florida watermelon where you shop. Just look for the Sunny Fresh from Florida logo or ask for it by name. Fresh from Florida. There's sunshine in every bite.
Wildfire season is active in your region, and the Florida Forest Service would like to remind you there are many tools that can help reduce the chances of a catastrophic wildfire. That includes creating a defensible space around your home, safely burning yard waste, following Florida's outdoor burning laws, and reporting a potential wildfire or suspicious arson activity. Humans are the leading cause of wildfires in Florida, so visit BeWildfireReadyFL.com for more information on Florida's outdoor burning laws and how to protect your home from wildfire.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Crump witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? More confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to the fabulous work known as the Sparkle Effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion, or your race, or because you have children, or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Back on a Memorial Day edition of the Florida Roundtable, Bill Mick with Brian Weyrunkle from the Fish and Wildlife Commission, Hunter Bland, a boater safety advocate and activist. I'll get it out in a minute, guys. Welcome to having flubs on radio. Nonetheless, we're talking boater safety, other safety on the waterways, and Hunter, you and I were talking before the show started about I kind of compare a weekend like this to New Year's Eve, where smart drivers don't want to be on the road and experienced boaters don't want to be on the water because it's amateur day out there, man. What do you look at safety-wise, especially in circumstances where you know you're going to have a busy weekend?
Listen, like, we want everybody to enjoy time on the water, but I think here's where it separates a bad weekend from a good weekend. It's where the preparation comes in. Preparation should not start at the boat ramp. Preparation should start a week ahead of time. It should start at your driveway, wherever you store your boat. It should start with walkarounds on your trailer, all your equipment. You know, if you're going fishing, making sure that your, you know, your electronics are working. If that's what, you know, you're using for navigation, having multiple things, lines of communication. If you're going offshore, you know, checking to make sure you registered your EPIRB. Making sure you have all the life jackets that fit everybody that's going to be on board your vessel and that they're familiar with wearing them, because we encourage wearing them anytime you're on the water. Like, a lot of those different things, you know, those are just some quick examples. But before you head to the lake or, you know, wherever you're going to recreate, you should start to prepare a week ahead of time at a minimum, because that allows you to establish a checklist, go through all of your equipment. You know, you don't want to get to the boat ramp on Memorial Day morning to have a family picnic and have not cranked your boat in 6 months. It's just going to lead to frustration. It's going to lead to headache, and you're not going to enjoy your time. So preparation is key. And I know that's such a cliche saying, but you are going to prevent so many things from happening, and you're going to start your day, your weekend off right by being safe, protecting others on the water, and protecting all of your friends and family that are with you. And you're just going to eliminate all your headaches by just preparing. So just remember that. Establish a checklist. Figure out everything that you need. Go get your boat in for a service. Make sure your plug is in before you ever launch your boat. Just do the simple things, but prepare, because when you get to the boat ramp, you'll be ready to go. You'll know where all your equipment's at. Life jackets will be on before your boat's ever even backed into the water, and you'll be ready to have a great day.
Very good. Brian, we hear the spots from the FWC, fairly regularly about boating under the influence. Ends up being party weekend out there for some folks, and boating while intoxicated, a big problem, and your guys are on the watch for it.
Yeah, boating under the influence is obviously something that is dangerous, and it's illegal. I mean, I tell people that there are people around the world who dream of boating in Florida. It is not a difficult. We're not bearing a burden in having to boat in Florida. So get out there, enjoy it, with your family, enjoy it with your friends, and make sure that that you designate a sober operator. If there's anyone drinking, make sure that the operator is definitely not. Because at the end of the day, Hunter mentioned this earlier, we want everybody to get out there and enjoy what we are so fortunate to have. As I said, you know, I'm looking out over Biscayne Bay, and I want to pinch myself. But if people are not prepared, as Hunter said, then that beautiful bay, it doesn't look so beautiful when your boat's broken down, or when you're not prepared with a life jacket, or if you have someone who's impaired. That can definitely change that world. There was one other thing I was going to mention as Hunter was talking about preparation. We have probably all seen at the boat ramp somebody banging on the engine cowling because their engine is not firing at that moment. And that's an example of why the boat ramp is not the place to find that out. Have that work done before the weekend starts, so that you can go out there and enjoy what we truly are so fortunate to have.
Yeah, that's very true. Hunter, you shared with us the story that got you started in this, an unanticipated event. Your boat had been checked for safety and the like. What other kinds of things have you seen on the water that folks maybe didn't anticipate that either could have been avoided or something to think about should you see an incident occur?
I think we've all seen some crazy things that have happened on the water, you know, but a lot of the things I've seen over the years, and I've been fortunate to boat all over the country and fish all over the country, and I've seen some crazy things. And just, you know, you check the weather and it says the wind's blowing 3 miles an hour, and you get out there and the wind's blowing 20, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of different things happen on the water that you can't necessarily prepare for. But as I kind of alluded to earlier, a lot of the things that I've seen that have led to dangerous situations is just people not paying attention. And listen, we all love to have fun out there. We all love to, you know, communicate with our friends. And that's why we're going to the water, right? To recreate and have a great time with friends and family. But the person driving the boat needs to be attentive 24/7. You need to have 360 degrees of visibility as best that you can. Always have your head on a swivel. And honestly, what I recommend is having somebody else right there with you, obviously not obstructing the operator, but somebody close by that is also keeping a great lookout. So, you know, mom or dad might have, you know, the kids right there that they're watching, you know, helping hold on to when they're in a seated, safe operating position when the boat's running. But maybe there's another adult on board sitting close to the operator, standing at the helm close to the operator, that's helping also, you know, keep a close watch out. Because I've seen where people are too glued into, you know, maybe looking at their phone or looking at their electronics or trying to figure out where the next channel marker is, and they end up running into somebody else. And all that is avoidable by just simply paying attention and maintaining full visibility. And I think a lot of that also just goes back to preparation, like I mentioned earlier, just making sure that you're aware of your surroundings at all point in time. And knowing how everything operates your boat and familiarizing yourself with that before you hit the water.
Very much sounds to me like, for those who may not be familiar with operating a vessel in the water, like motorcycles on land. And if you're the motorcycle driver, you've got to watch out for everybody else. If you're in a vessel on a personal watercraft or just in the water, you've got to watch out for that going on around you. And it's up to you to be alert and aware there.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing I also wanted to mention, I think you make a great point right there. But like I was talking, you know, preparation earlier, listen, we all love to recreate on the water. It is so much fun, like we've all talked about in this show. Like, there's nothing more than I love than seeing people with a smile on their face, enjoying the great outdoors, because we're so fortunate to have so many places to recreate on the water, whether you're kayaking, whether you're fishing, whether, you know, you're just eating a picnic lunch, whether you're introducing your friends and family to catching their first fish or the fish of a lifetime, whatever it may be, let's just help each other out. There's so many things that can happen on the water that are unexpected. Even in my case, if you see somebody in need, help them out. It could be as simple as, you know, I was just at the boat ramp the other day and an individual flagged me down and they said, my battery for some reason just quit working. They had done the preparation, but it quit working. Mm-hmm. And I'm not tooting my own horn here by any means, but they said, man, I wish I had a jump pack. I had a battery jump pack in my boat and I had just pulled up to the ramp and we jumped them off and got them going so they could load their boat. It's just simple things right there where preparation met an opportunity, but you were prepared ahead of the game so you could fulfill that opportunity. So if you see anybody at the boat ramp in need, see anybody out there on the water in need, help them out. But also remember, we're all in this together. We're all enjoying the same great resources that we are so blessed to have in the state of Florida and around this country. So just remember, we're all in this together. Help each other out, and together we'll help make the waterways a safer place for sure.
Brian, what are the biggest contributing factors you guys at FWCC when it comes to boating incidents or accidents? Are there commonalities in many of them?
Yeah, there definitely are. When you talk about reportable boating accidents, it goes back to paying attention. And so many of these accidents, people strike another boat. They strike a fixed object. A seawall, for example, those types of things. So paying attention is the most critical part. And Hunter did a great job of highlighting that. And that is something that is so critical, because if you look year in and year out, the statistics are very clear that reportable accidents, hitting something that we should be able to avoid, is at the top of the list. And we can avoid that. And Hunter made a great point. You made a great point about avoiding somebody else who isn't paying attention. The navigation rules that govern vessel operation, boat operation, really put that responsibility on all parties.
All right, so, we'll leave it right there and pick it up as we continue with safety on Florida's waterways in moments.
There's a price war in the insurance business, and you may be paying too much. Call the Term Lifeline right now and see if you can save 40%. $500,000 plans and up, that's our specialty, even great smokers rates. Protect your family today. Call the Term Lifeline right now for a free quote. 866-558-TERM, 866-558-TERM, 866-558-TERM.
Well, my buddy and I left early that morning, no different than any other time we've been fishing together. Loaded our gear and headed out to our favorite spot. Sky was getting dark, but we were just catching so many fish. You know, we had life jackets on board, but we could swim, so we never wore them. Then the wind and the waves picked up. We started taking on water. Engine quit. In a split second, we were in the water. I lost my best friend that day. It's National Safe Boating Week. Good time to start wearing your life jacket every second you're on the water. Visit myfwc.com.
Motorcyclists, bicyclists, pedestrians, and commercial vehicles all have the right to be on the road and travel safely. Motorists, watch out for bicyclists and pedestrians, allowing 3 feet of clearance. And be on the lookout for motorcycles. Never attempt to share a lane with one. Drive cautiously around commercial vehicles. Don't cut in front and stay out of their blind spots. When we're on the road together, safety is a shared responsibility. Let's all make it home safely. A message from the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Steel deals are happening now. From instant savings on select tools to free battery offers on some of our most popular battery tool sets, you can enjoy great deals and do it all with Steel. Shop online or in store at your local Steel dealer. Offer valid for a limited time only at participating dealers while supplies last.
Back on the Florida Roundtable, talking waterway safety here in the Sunshine State. I'm Bill Mick, along with Brian Raywinkle from the FWC, and Hunter Bland, who is a big guy when it comes to boating and safety on the waters. I want to start with this, fellas, and something I hadn't really considered and haven't really seen it when I was on the water, but what if a medical situation arises with you on your vessel or someone on another vessel or a personal watercraft, God forbid? Better to try to boat to meet that first responder where they're going to be coming to the water. Do they have water rescue folks that are out there? What happens in that kind of circumstance? Hunter, let's start with you.
I think it varies by situation, but I would recommend always call 911 immediately, because a lot of these places that we're boating, there's always first responders there very close by, or there's a dock close by that they can respond quickly. So step number one, always call 911 immediately. And then based on, you know, your training or the situation, handle it as effectively and quickly as you can. And I think it's a great reminder. Again, goes back to preparation. Know exactly where all your first aid kit and safety gear to handle that situation is. We shouldn't be digging around the back of a back compartment of our boat buried under random things, trying to figure out if our first aid kit's still in there. We should say, hey, it's right behind the driver's seat. It's in that locker. So if you're communicating with, you're operating the boat and you're communicating with a passenger to get that stuff ready while you're trying to help an emergency situation, you know where it's at, you can get to it quickly, and you can handle the situation with urgency. So again, varies, but I definitely would try to help in any situation. Never drive by, a situation, especially an emergency, where you can help somebody, no matter if it's a broken down battery, broken down boat with a dead battery, or you saw somebody fall in the water that you needed to rescue. But again, emergency situation, call 911 immediately and assist where you can with urgency, but know where all your safe boating equipment is, like your first aid kit, and help any way you can.
Very good. Brian, what kind of situations have your folks run across in the FWC that they've had to handle or to assist in handling when it comes to medical or other emergencies on the water?
Yeah, that's not something that's that uncommon. Our officers receive a lot of training as first responders to deal with these situations. So that's not that uncommon. They'll see somebody having a medical emergency, and they're trained to respond, but they're also trained to get help more quickly, the more advanced care. One of the things that I would mention for your audience is to make sure that you have a communication device that will allow that. If you're on a lake, you're probably going to have cell phone service, but not always. So having a marine radio and some other forms of a good form of communication to get that word out that someone needs help, that's also very important.
Yeah, very, very true. Are there weekends like this, holiday weekends in particular, have to be really busy for your folks? What are the biggest incidents that you see on a weekend like this, Brian?
So for big weekends like this, we do see boating accidents. We do see people who have problems with engines, that type of thing, particularly people who haven't been boating much in recent times. You do see medical emergencies. You see people who get overheated, that type of thing. And so all of those typical first outings can be issues for a weekend like this.
I can imagine that. Hunter, your best recommendations, because you're on the water all the time. What about that person who's occasionally out there?
I'm going to take a quick break. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Okay, go right ahead. That's no problem. He's going into a park, so when he gets in, he'll rejoin us. Hunter, what would you recommend for these folks that maybe
hey,
are out
you
there
doing?
As
I'm
often?
With FWC. I'm joining our officer who came in earlier.
Yeah, come on in. Have a good day.
Thank you. Yep, appreciate that.
Okay, that happened quick enough. Hunter, go ahead with your answer there.
So you're just mentioning how what my best recommendations are for people that are not on the water that much.
Yeah, water rookies.
there's times I might be a rookie as well, you know. We're all rookies in different forms. But, yeah, I think as much as I'm on the water, it's preparing for the unexpected. And so what I mean by that, you've heard me talk about preparation a ton,
right?
But that is really what helps set you up for success, I feel. So prime example, it's simple example, but if you're not on the water that much, make sure you have a spare change of clothes. Make sure you have some rain gear. Very simple example, but where I'm going with that is we live in the state of Florida, right?
Yeah.
There's a random sun shower or in the summertime, a crazy bad thunderstorm. You might get soaking wet and then, you know, need a change of clothes, or you see that thunderstorm pop up, but you have rain gear. So those are examples of where you're thinking ahead of the game, right?
Very good. I've got to leave it there, and we'll pick it up as we conclude this weekend's edition of the Florida Roundtable in moments. Stay with us.
Wildfire season is active in your region, and the Florida Forest Service would like to remind you there are many tools that can help reduce the chances of a catastrophic wildfire. That includes creating a defensible space around your home, safely burning yard waste, following Florida's outdoor burning laws, and reporting a potential wildfire or suspicious arson activity. Humans are the leading cause of wildfires in Florida, so visit BeWildfireReadyFL.com for more information on Florida's outdoor burning laws and how to protect your home from wildfire.
Mosquitoes are a nuisance. They can transmit deadly diseases like Zika and West Nile virus. Protect yourself with Summit Mosquito Dunks. Placed in ponds, bird baths, or any standing water, Summit Mosquito Dunks are harmless to people, pets, and wildlife, but kill mosquito larvae before they're old enough to bite and last for 30 days or more. Find Summit Mosquito Dunks at garden centers, hardware stores, and online retailers. Visit SummitResponsibleSolutions.com. That's SummitResponsibleSolutions.com.
Up to 44% of veterans say reentry into civilian life was difficult. 20% say they experienced depression, and 6,000 vets complete suicide every year. You're not alone. At the Florida Veterans Support Line, over 300 veterans like you call every week for resources, referrals, and support. Connect with one of our veteran peers who has walked in your shoes and can help you take the next step. You're not alone. Call 1-844-MY-FL-VET or visit myflvet.com.
Well, my buddy and I left early that morning, no different than any other time we've been fishing together. Loaded our gear and headed out to our favorite spot. Sky was getting dark, but we were just catching so many fish. Yeah, now we had life jackets on board, but we could swim, so we never wore them. Then the wind and the waves picked up. We started taking on water. Engine quit. In a split second, we were in the water. I lost my best friend that day. It's National Safe Boating Week. Good time to start wearing your life jacket every second you're on the water. Visit myfwc.com.
Shortness of breath. Patient's confused. Temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready. Let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Just a little bit of time left on the Florida Roundtable. Bill Mick with Brian Raywinkle from the Fish and Wildlife Commission. Hunter Bland with us as well, boating safety advocate. And guys, a couple of things. Real quickly, anything unique about boating in Florida, something you particularly enjoy or you're particularly wary of before we close this today? Brian, let's start with you.
I like the diversity of waterways. You have rivers, you have lakes, you have the Gulf, the Atlantic. You have a lot of different types of water bodies. And I really like that. Now, that does bring with it all those different types of waterways, a need to make sure that you're prepared before you go out. We talked about that, and take a boating safety course. Some of that preparation will help you deal with all those very somewhat different types of waters.
Very good. Hunter, what about you?
you know, echoing what Brian said, there's so many different great ecosystems and places that we can recreate on the water or near the water. And I want to encourage you guys, if that's the way you choose to recreate, get out there, have fun, and do it, but do it safely. Go kayaking, take your family fishing, fish off the bank, but understand that anytime you're on or near the water, there's things that you need to prepare for, take cautions, wear a life jacket. If you're on a boat, hook up your engine cutoff switch, designate a sober operator, never boat under the influence. Just take that precaution, have fun, but do it safely and create those lasting memories out there on the water, because those are things that we look back on for years and years to come. But doing it safely ensures we get back to the dock safely, and they're good memories.
One of the things that I would consider unique here is the types of wildlife you're going to run across. I've had to clear the grate on my jet ski every now and then in water. I didn't appreciate standing in because the gators that might be coming. We've had some incidents in news recently where those kind of things have occurred. You got to be aware of that as well.
No doubt about that. You got to being prepared, I think, is the key message here.
Yeah, no doubt. Speaking of, Brian, website from the FWC that folks can go to for information and the like?
Yeah, they can visit myfwc.com. There's a lot of information on our website for ecosystems as well as for boating safety.
And Brian, what about you? Anything that you would recommend information-wise as people prepare for this boating summer?
Were you talking to Hunter?
I'm sorry, Hunter, yeah.
You're good. Yeah, I think like Brian mentioned, MyFWC's website is a great resource. There's a lot of great resources like the safeboatingcampaign.com where you can get a lot of resources and education materials that works very in close with FWC. So get online, do a quick Google search, get yourself those education materials, brush up on a lot of those safe boating practices. And like we mentioned, if you haven't taken a safe boating course, do so in the comfort of your home online. Take it on on-water course. Just make sure you're prepared, but have fun out there and do it safely.
Hunter, you still doing tournament fishing?
Yes, sir.
Good luck. Are you out this weekend, or they take the weekend off as everybody's out there?
No, I'll be fishing on a little lake around here where the big bass have been biting really, really well. So I'm going to probably take my dad and enjoy some fun, safe time on the water with
very
him.
Very good. Go enjoy that. Thank you for your time. Brian Raywinkle, thanks for everything you do at the FWC and the information you bring us. We'll talk to you again when we get the opportunity, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
All right. And we'll see you folks next weekend right here on the Florida News Network with the Florida Roundtable.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Mick, a news and public affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.